Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Dear friends, welcome to Seek Reality. Of course, I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm thrilled that you're with us today. You know, I have the wonderful gift of hearing from many people every day that I've never personally met, but they know me through Seek Reality, through my books, through the wonderful George Norrie's Coast to Coast and his Gaia TV program Beyond Belief, or just because one of my YouTubes turned up in a web search. They often tell me the first time we talk or email how they found me, but what a gift it is to be able to help so many people. And I do answer everyone. Nowadays, it could take some, you know, days, but I always will respond. About a week ago, I got an anguished email from a woman who wanted to know how people can do the terrible things they do, even to children, and how God can allow such evil to happen. Her particular focus was on pedophilia, but her question was even broader than how can God allow it. She begged to know not just why God allows it, but how could I forgive it? Could I forgive it if someone I loved, were a child, were sexually molested? I told her I could forgive it, and it wouldn't even take a minute. I couldn't explain in just an email why that's true, but I think it's time that we talk about that. So we're going to talk today on Seek Reality about why bad things happen to good people. And the only guest I could invite to join me in talking about this with you is our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Believe it or not, Craig is back for the 23rd time. I can't get over it in 5 years. Craig Hogan is the leading expert worldwide on the greater reality that we talk about each week, which, of course, includes death and the afterlife, but it encompasses so much more. As I'm sure you know, I am obsessed with really figuring it all out now, and not just for me, but primarily at this point for you. And Craig Hogan is one of the very few afterlife researchers who have shared my whole journey, although he did it on his own separately. Each of us started with evidence about the afterlife and then figured that out. And then, you know, what does that evidence tell us about the greater reality in which it all happens? And then once we each felt we were getting that in hand, we both moved on to where this research must always lead, which is exploring the fact that the evidence tells us that the purpose of our lives on earth is spiritual growth. Giving us a place to grow spiritually is apparently the whole reason why the universe even exists. There is no one else on earth I know who has taken this same long journey of research and discovery. And Craig and I wonderfully did it separately. We arrived at exactly all the same places. So, Craig, I guess it's little wonder you and I have shared so many Seek Reality visits. I see you as kind of my only overall go-to expert on everything, and especially on topics as important as this one is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Craig, welcome. I'm so glad you're with us again, and yeah. I'm very excited about talking about this finally.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it is true that we are coming to the same conclusions. And the reason is that we're seeking the truth, and the truth is going to rise to its own level. And so if anybody's open and they seek the truth, then they're going to come to the right conclusions because they're out there. It's when people close themselves off because of religion or because of the religion of science, scientism, that yes. They then close themselves to reality. They are, in effect, leaving themselves in their own prison of reality. And that prison then is going to keep them bound. They're not going to be able to find those greater needs, those greater goals that they can achieve in life, because they are looking for the same things over and over again, and they're coming to the same conclusions, and they're missing the bigger picture, the greater reality that we know is there.
That is so true. Until we free ourselves from the, and you're right, it's a prison, the prison of beliefs we have been taught, We have to take it down to zero. I think Descartes said that, didn't he? First, you have to forget everything you know, and then you can start to learn what's true. And that's especially true in this area because nobody has it right. Science certainly doesn't have it right. We've talked about that here before. And there is no religion that has even the dimmest clue about what actually is going on. So it's amazing and wonderful that if you do seek, you will find. Jesus told us that was true, and it is perfectly true. What I find, and I think you do as well, Craig, is that Spirit helps us a lot if we're open-minded and seeking the truth. This isn't anything, any voyage, anyone will have to take on their own.
No, the large part of it is that we have to learn how to be open, that we have to learn how to accept the truths that are coming to us. And so we are spending a time casting off all of the old prejudices and the knowledge that we had that is basically ignorance.
Yeah.
And then we are accepting what's coming to us. So in other words, as we go into the future, we are then allowing ourselves to open up to the reality that's coming to us. And there are some who say that this world is a simulation, and that the future is where the operators, the patent, the
yes.
origination is, and
yeah.
That the origination then comes to us, and if we're open to it as it's coming, then we'll receive it. If we're not open to it and we're stuck in one spot, then we're going to miss it. It's not going to be coming to us.
What's wonderful is Craig and I are both hearing more and more in the last few years from people who are saying they have given up on scientism, on religions that really are not satisfying, and they want the truth. And we now, because we've both done it ourselves, have been able to shorten for people to just a year or two what has taken us a long time to learn. But dear friends, if you're just meeting the wonderful Dr. R. Craig Hogan, please give yourself the gift of listening to some of his past Seek Reality appearances. And there he talks about how he came into this field, and he did it actually more relatively late in life, which is encouragement for you if you're only coming to it now and you're thinking it's too late. It's not. But we're not going to talk yet again about his past. What I'd like to do is talk a little bit about his present and a little musing about the future before we get into talking about why bad things happen to good people. Craig, let's talk about the Afterlife Research and Education Institute, or AREI. And it put on what I hear was a terrific symposium in September. But I understand you're going in some different directions now, and I know nothing's formed yet, but you have some ideas. Tell us, please, where AREI is going now, do you think?
Mm-hmm. Sure, and Roberta was part of forming AREI, so she was in on this when we started it. In fact, if I were to say, you and I started this together.
Yes, we did.
So we were the progenitors of AREI. The Afterlife Research and Education Institute was formed for us to be able to support the people who are out there teaching people about the afterlife and about afterlife communication. Today we know so much more. We know how to communicate. One of the methods of communication now is 90% successful, and people have wonderful, exciting sessions on their own with their eyes closed. And so we know that there's so much going on out there now, and the people who are doing the work need support. They need financing, and they need to network. And so what AREI does is to try to bring the people together. And right now we're focusing on trying to find financing for them. And eventually, as this comes to fruition, then it will change humankind, because humankind is going to mature as a result of knowing that we are spiritual beings having just a short interim physical experience.
Yes.
And that we can live together in love and brotherhood, and we don't have to try to grab everything out of this life because it's the only life, and we can center on others instead of trying to get everything for ourselves. And all of that will come about as people have these afterlife experiences and they become changed people. So AREI is attempting to help the people who are at the vanguard, who are helping other people to learn how to communicate with their loved ones on the other side. And so what we want to do in the very near future, is we want to get financing to them. That's going to be the big push for this year. And we know that we can do it because when people see what is possible, when they realize what we can do to help humankind, then they become very open to it, very open to supporting it in any way that they can. So that's going to be the thrust this year.
Wait, one of the things I think we've talked about is that we probably won't do more large symposia just because you work very hard and you can only reach a few hundred people, maybe 700, 800, 900 at most. But if we do it right, we really can reach a great many more people. And we're just starting to talk about that now in ARAI, which is exciting.
And there's the internet has such possibilities. The estimate is that within 6 to 8 years, that 70% of the world will be on the internet, and that amounts to over 5 billion people.
Wow.
And since that's true, through the internet, we can bring all this to people. We can help to make the change in humankind. People can grow up and they can become enlightened and they can find out. And that we have such a hopeful message. The message is so wonderful that we continue to live after that transition that we call death, and that we go into even a greater realm in which we continue to grow. We, as individuals, don't go away. We don't then reincarnate as some other individual. We continue to grow when we go on to then. Yeah, so we grow together. So it's much like we are.
The good news is, Craig, is there's no bad news.
No, there's no bad news about it at all. There is no bad news. Yeah. And it's rather like we are sitting in a movie theater. It's dark, and then we can only see the screen, and we are the protagonist on the screen, and we're weeping through the sad parts, and we're joyful in the joyful parts, and then at the end of it, the lights just go on, and here are our loved ones sitting next to us, and we walk out arm in arm, and then we can go on and do other things and go to other movies or whatever it is that we want to do together. But if we realize that, if we really know that that's true, that this is a short period of time, and at the end of this period of time, we're all going to be coming back together and sharing what happened and in excitement with each other, then the things that seem so awful during this period, during this short period that we call the life, is just inconsequential. It's not important. And
so,
we needn't get upset about it.
Dear Craig, what do you say when people ask you, what that woman asked me last week, why bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, we all experience bad things. We all experience the passing of someone whom we love. And sometimes it's worse than in other circumstances. We all experience it. And the reason that these things happen is because we had decided before we incarnated that we needed these challenges in order for us to grow in ways that will have an effect upon us for eternity. And so we decided that we needed these lessons. And the lessons may be lessons of tolerance or lessons of forgiveness or lessons of being able to trust. And whatever those lessons are, then we will learn them. Every one of these tragedies that happens to us, the bad things that happen to good people, they're temporary. And even during this lifetime, we get beyond them and we go on to the next stage in our lives, and they are in our past, and we can grieve about them and we can feel awful about them at the time, but then we adjust to them. And during that adjustment period, we're growing and becoming. The action of becoming, the action of growing, of going through these experiences is as important as the goal of coming to the end of it and having grown as a result of them. So the activity in which we are understanding and learning and becoming the people that we're going to become is as important as the goal, as the end in which we are more compassionate, more loving as a result of that experience. So we need to go through them. We have to go through them. But we have the joy of knowing that in the end, all of it's going to work out. Everything is going to be wonderful.
So someone's child is molested. One of my grandchildren is molested. And people find that to be unbelievably awful. I mean, I'm going through a situation now with the drugs in the schools. I mean, horrible people do things to my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And this woman wanted to know, how could I forgive that? Mm-hmm. What do you tell people?
Yeah, and awful things happen. Awful things have always happened. And I have a good friend of mine who was molested by a priest when she was a child. And so she went through that experience, and it changed her life. These awful things that happen, we don't understand what the lesson is or why people are learning that lesson. We just know that they are learning it. And then when they come to the end of it, when they come out of it, then they will have changed. One of the things that has to happen is that we do have to learn to forgive. And the reason for that is because anger, and the anger, deep-seated anger towards someone for any reason, is something which drowns us. We actually cease to breathe. Because of it, we cease to breathe spiritually because of the anger that's in us, that eats us, that molders inside of us.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't harm them. They don't feel that anger at all. But what it does is it kills us. It kills the individual who's feeling it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And when we can learn to overcome that, and we can learn to forgive to the extent that we're possible to do it, then once we have done that, then we have overcome, and that anger then can go away. We can then start to raise our vibration. We can start to become more loving and compassionate because we've gotten rid of that negative energy. The negative energy will drag us down, and it will keep us on the earth plane.
If you don't have opportunities in your life, you'll never learn to forgive. And unless mm-hmm. you can learn to forgive, you will never know what love is. The kind of love, what the Course in Miracles calls special loves, they say that they're as counterproductive as special hates. Jesus says, what good is it if you love the people who love you? Even the tax collectors do that, for heaven's sake. He didn't say that for heaven's sake part. But that's right. The true love is love for people who you don't even know. And you will never know what that feels like unless you've learned complete forgiveness. And that's why I can forgive no matter what. It's we've talked about it before on Seek Reality. I'll probably talk about it again. How to learn to forgive once and for all, so no matter what happens, it will not affect you. I think that's the only way. I call it convenient forgiveness. That's the only way, really, because otherwise it's just makes you too cranky to forgive. But we have to learn to forgive. That's the most important lesson.
That's very important. Right. And the reason is not the act of forgiveness itself. It's the act of what a feeling, what that emotion is, what that sense is, right, that becomes deeply into us. And we can look at other people. We can look at people like someone like Dalai Lama. And we can look at a person like that, and we can see the spirituality and the love and the compassion. We know people who are like that. You just look at them and you can see that in them.
Yes.
And when you see that they have forgiven someone, forgiven the unforgivable, and then you see that they look different to us. We see them differently. We feel that they're different. And the reason is because they are on a higher vibration. They themselves have brought themselves to that point. And we have the choice of doing that. We are the persons who are navigating through this lifetime. And we can make that happen. And when we do, then we become changed people. And the people around us become changed as a result of it as well.
Some of the things we ought to mention are just for comfort. You know, you'll hear about people who've gone through horrible tortures and terrible things. We're told that if death is going to be the result, that they're out of their bodies very quickly. Whatever happens to the body does not affect them. And I've actually seen accounts of people who were regressed to those periods, and they're out of their bodies almost right away. Mikey Morgan, when he was in that awful auto accident that took his life at the age of 20, if you haven't read his book, Flying High in Spirit, please do. Everyone loves it. But he said that he was out of his body before the accident even happened. And a lot of people who are in horrific car accidents will say that. I never felt a thing. I looked down and I saw the accident happen. So if it's a comfort to you, if someone you love has had a horrible experience like this that looked painful, according to what the dead tell us, it really wasn't painful. They were out of their bodies as soon as it was possible to get them out of their bodies, which to me is a comfort, actually.
Yeah, when the death is inevitable, when it is going to happen, then they do not experience that. They're taken out before that period of time. When we hear that over and over again, what we also hear is that in one instance, this is Laurel Parnell, who is a psychotherapist in California who does EMDR, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, is very well known in the field. And she was doing a session with a client, and the client was connecting with her loved one who was on the other side while sitting in the psychotherapist's office. And as she connected with them, then that person on the other side said to her that they were in a plane crash in which they were killed. And as the plane was going down, they experienced the plane going down. So that part of the experience they had, it wasn't like they were taken out before any of the trauma happened of the plane going down. But they experienced the plane going down and all of the fear and all of the anxiety as a result of it. But then they didn't experience the crash. So yes, we do experience it up to that point in yes, our experiences, because that's part of our life plan.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
to go through that. But then they are taken out before the end of the process.
Let's talk about life planning, because a lot of people don't understand that our lives are planned. And if they are planned, that we can basically, we keep changing them with our guides throughout our lives as we learn our lessons. Can you talk about that process?
Yeah, it is a process that we have discovered is true. We know that it's true. Anybody who's interested should read any of Rob Schwartz's books. He's written Your Soul's Plan and Your Soul's Gift, The Healing Power of Life You Planned Before You Were Born. And what they've done is they've done regressions into the period of between lives, in which people have been planning their next life, and they plan it in groups, and they plan it so that whatever is going to happen there is going to teach them the lessons they know they need to learn. And so they make the plan, and then they come into the incarnation, into the world, and the plan plays itself out. And there are exit points. There's some who say that there's more than one exit point, and you can choose them. But you still are the master of your own fate. You are still the navigator. You can choose not to learn the lessons and slack it off, and you will then may learn them again. You may learn them after you leave this transition out of this lifetime. But you are allowed to make those changes and make the differences. People who commit suicide, there are some indications in Your Soul's Plan that people who commit suicide is an option that may happen, but it is an inevitability. In other words, it's a possibility. And there are others who say that it is not, that it truncates. And I suspect it's going to be both, that it's possible to truncate it, but it's also possible that is an option for the exit during that lifetime. But we plan it in between lives. We plan the next life with those, with our guides, with the people who love us, and with the soul group that we're part of. And then we go into that lifetime, and we have the experiences, and during those experiences that we grow. And that's when we become. And the process of becoming is as important as the goal of becoming. So that teaches us, and, yes, and we know that reality is being created every moment, moment to moment. There is no reality apart from what it is that we're creating moment to moment, but that their experiences, all of the things that are going to be happening to us and who we are consciously, all of that's evolving. So we're helping to evolve who we were in the past right now, and we're evolving who we will be in the future right now. And when we were in the past, that was evolving who we would be in the future and who we are now. And so all of that is evolving, and it's the process of learning to love. And it's the process of forgiving that makes a big change in who we were, who we are, and who we will be.
And if that doesn't make your eyes cross, nothing will. But in fact, it's true. There is only now. And we understand that. It's being created instant by instant. There, nothing else exists but now. And I have talked in my blog, in fact, I just wrote a blog post about what God actually is. I think that it's part of the process of understanding how this all works, to understand what God truly is. So what's God's role in this? God didn't tell you to plan to have your children all die, right? That's your choice. You planned that, right?
Yeah. That is it. But when we talk about God, we are God. We are part of that consciousness, and we make that plan in partnership with the source, with the creative source. That's going to make it all happen. That's going to allow it to all happen. So, but we are the ones who are masters of our destiny. We make the choices. And even though we may wonder why this we chose to do this awful thing or have this awful thing happen, there is a reason for it. And it is something which we will understand later. We will understand when we end up going to the next plane of life, where we'll be able to look back and understand what went on.
Just talking about forgiveness and the fact that you can forgive anything, one of the things that will happen after our death is we'll do a life review and we'll have the opportunity to forgive everyone in our lives. We do that without a thought. What, they killed us in the Holocaust? Forgive them all. But the hard thing is forgiving ourselves. I think one of the main reasons to learn to forgive during your lifetime is that the hardest thing you'll ever do is see how you have affected other people, because that's what a life review is, how you affected all the other people in your life. And being told now you need to forgive yourself for all the things you did. I should say, too, that one wonderful story is the fact that apparently Hitler's not in the outer darkness. I don't understand why, but a lot of the people who carried out the Holocaust apparently are, and they put themselves into tortures because they're so full of remorse they could never forgive themselves now that they know what they did. And they're surrounded day and night. Of course, there's never day or night there, but they're eternally surrounded by people begging them to forgive themselves, begging them, telling them that everybody forgives them. And when I give a talk, I'll tell that story and I'll say, all right, extra points if you can tell me who all those people are around them day and night all the time. It's the people that they most harmed who are telling them it's time to stop blaming yourself. It was really not real. It wasn't real. And I think that's forgiveness to me. I mean, you can forgive it because we are eternal, powerful, wonderful beings here having this strange experience. We have to change our perspective, don't you think, Craig, in order for us really to understand?
Yeah, we really have to understand the fact that none of this is of any consequence. Nothing that happens in the physical realm is of any consequence. And that what is of consequence, though, is what happens to us, our soul, our mind, our spirit, whatever you want to call it, how that grows and how we develop and the activities that we have, forgiving other people, loving other people, having compassion, all of those things are the things that matter. Those are the things that will last. But the other things, the events that happen in the world are inconsequential. You know, we talk about Adolf Hitler, who had a very difficult childhood and then was a failure in his endeavors. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't excuse what he did, but if I knew a good Catholic man who was a very strong Catholic, and he said that what he would do if he had the power was he would take all of the abortion doctors and he would line them up and shoot every one of them. Oh. Now, I don't see any difference between that and Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
It's only the fact that Adolf Hitler had the means to be able to do something about it. But as far as the anger, the hate, the vindictiveness, the cruelty, all of that is what is inside of that man who had those feelings. Horrible. And Jesus said that. He said, even if you just have hate in your heart, then you've already killed him.
Yes, the person. Yes, absolutely.
And it's because of the fact that those feelings are what's important. And that if we learn to have love, If we learn to regard other people highly and be more other-centered in what we do, then we raise ourselves and we raise humanity to a higher vibration.
Absolutely.
And in the process of doing that, then we are helping to change humankind from the past, humankind in the future, and humankind as it is right now.
But let's talk about abortion, because that's something which is very hot right now in the news. And we do know something about those fetuses that are being murdered. Mikey Morgan is the latest person I've seen answer this question just a few days ago on AfterlifeForums.com. But it's a question that is answered consistently. Those were planned lifetimes. People carefully planned a lifetime with others, with their guides, and they attached to that body at conception. Actually, the lives are usually planned before conception. They know there's no time there. They know when the conceptions are going to happen. So that is the destruction of a human life. I don't think that there's any question about that, because what the dead tell us is consistent, and common sense tells us it's consistent. I mean, there's no demarcation. So in the news currently, as we're having this conversation, there are actually states that are saying even in the birth canal, a viable child can be murdered at the mother's will. I just think that we need to understand we can't be, you know, I don't want to kill the mother for that. But I think that the truth is important, and we need to help people understand that the harm they do here is not going to end when they die. It's going to confront them after life. There was one woman who died. She must have died more than 100 years ago. And because back when I was reading all of these accounts of people who had died, and they were talking to their relatives, she had had like 4 abortions, and this was early part of the 20th century. She told her family she was confounded by the fact that there were 4 beautiful young people who greeted her, who called her mother, who loved her, who had helped her and followed her all her life. These are the fetuses that she had murdered.
As far as the child who is going to be born into a body that is a fetus, they are associated with that fetus before the plans are even made. That's part of the life plan. They are part of it. They don't enter it. They don't actually. There is not an entrance, like the spirit somehow enters the body because it is separate from the body. But they do plan it so that they know that they're going to be that they would be in that body. Now, if the person has an abortion, then that person, the individual, isn't harmed. So the consciousness is not harmed. The soul, the spirit, is not harmed. It's only something that happens to the body, and that's during the physical realm.
The person who's harmed is the mother who did it, because she did something which is going to confront her after she dies, and which she will have a lot of trouble forgiving as she stands there with a beautiful child beside her that was her child. They do not, in other words, die. You can't kill a fetus. So we may as well come up with another way of handling the fact that some people would rather not have a baby. It seems to me we ought to think harder about how to prevent the conception, perhaps.
Yeah. What happens, though, that is that the spirit of that child then simply is born in another body. That's all. So it goes on to another body. The consciousness of the mind or the spirit can't be harmed. So there is no harm that happens to the consciousness of the mind or the spirit. They just go on to another body. Yeah, the child is. But the child, if the child is loved by the mother, by the family, but especially by the mother, then that child will then be birthed in the next plane of life, on the next plane that we enter, and will grow up there. And there will be a reunion. The mother and the child have a reunion there later on. There is always forgiveness and an understanding of what the mother was going through.
Yes.
So there is no judgment, no condemnation. They are accepting of that this was the way that this was planned. This was the life plan. But as far as the child is not harmed when there is an abortion. The child just goes on and can be born in another, very possibly to the same mother, in another fetus, or is born on the other side.
Yes, this is true of miscarriages too. Many women miscarry. Mm-hmm. That was a real child, but very often those miscarried babies will be later born to the same people. It's very important that we, as we start to think eternally, which is what we're talking about doing, everything we think about needs to be seen on that eternal front. Frankly, I don't know about you, Craig, but when I really got it, I started to clean up my life hugely because it started to matter every small thing I did. I was a horrible driver, for example. I was a very aggressive driver. Now I just drive as if everybody else is more important than I am. It changes you in every possible way when you really get that your life is eternal. It never will end.
Yeah, yep. And not only that, that it is temporary. That what we're the life this what we call this life
yes.
is temporary, and that what is happening in this life, it's the same thing that if we think back to a dozen years ago, 10 years ago, and think about some awful things that happened, and you might be able to remember them, might not be able to, but if you look back on them now, they don't seem consequential right now. They are past. They are done. And it's the same way that our lives, these short, brief interludes in our eternal life, are going to be over, and they're going to be finished, and all the things that are going to be happening are going to go away, and everything we own, and all the people that we spend time with, and they're going to be with us on the next plane of life, and they're not going to be in this life. So everything in this life is transitory. Now, this is all just a dream. And what's important is who we are that we carry into eternity. And that's through the love, through the compassion that we have, through the ability to forgive, to not judge, we must not judge, and to allow people to be what they are, and to be other-centered. That carries on with us into the next life.
What we have found is that really, if you take only the teachings of Jesus, not the other stuff, that's in the Gospels that was added later. If you take just those teachings, it's probably the handiest short course there is in how to grow spiritually in this lifetime. That's my book, The Fun of Growing Forever, talks about how to use those teachings that way. But some people have asked me, well, what if I want to get like to level 5, level 6, get to a really high level? And there are examples I have seen of in the literature of people who have grown hugely in one lifetime. They're really, I don't think there's a barrier. It's not easy. It requires that you make that your life's focus. But you can grow tremendously in one lifetime.
And a lot of that depends on the society.
Yes. It depends
because
on the people around you, too.
Right,
yes.
Because that's the jumping-off point. So that in a society that is more spiritually mature, then the person begins with, they're like on a springboard. They're already up in the air, and they can go further. In a spiritually immature society, in a backward society, then it's much more difficult for them to rise out of that society. But it is a choice that they've made. I mean, we've all made the choice to be in this particular time in Earth's history with the people who are around us. And we've chosen this because it's a crucible. And right now there are people of all levels of spiritual maturity or immaturity. And we are in the crucible with all of these people. And it's because we need to learn lessons from people at all levels, from people who are spiritually mature and from people who are spiritually immature.
Do you have advice for people who say that they can't forgive something really awful? Because I've heard so many people say, I could forgive everything except I could not forgive that, whatever that was. How do you forgive something that's unforgivable?
Yeah, and it's very difficult, and that may not be possible during this lifetime. But the important part is not the goal of having come to the point of being able to forgive everything. The important part is the process of, in that you go through. And every one of us is at a different stage in our process. So some people can't forgive very much, or they can't forgive certain things. And so they're at that stage in their process, and they can work towards that in their baby steps, in their ability to go that direction as far as they can go. And that's their process in this lifetime. And for other people, they can forgive greatly, or they can forgive those things that are unforgivable. And they are at another stage. They're in another process, and they're going to go from that stage into, in baby steps, the next stage up. And so every one of us is in the process, and it's the process that we not only are going through ourselves, but we're helping other people to go through. So that as we go through the process, we're engaging other people in the process with us, and we're helping them, and they're helping us. So all of it is a partnership, and the creative force, our guides, the helpers who are on the other side helping us, all of them are helping us to grow, and the process of growth is what's important during this lifetime.
Everyone listening, you can see the sort of the difference. Craig is a really doting father. He encourages people tremendously. I'm more like the mother who says, you have to eat your peas or you will never grow up healthy. And I'm a lot stricter. And I think, Craig, when we talk, people can hear the difference between us. And that's really fun. I really think that's a lot of fun because, you know, there are different approaches, everyone. It's time for all of us to do what we can do to learn the truth. And then to live the truth. And there are many ways to get there. Your way is your way. No one can ever tell you that you're doing it wrong if what you are seeking is the genuine truth. One of the suggestions I have is that Craig has written a fantastic book that covers really a lot of what we talk about on Seek Reality. It's called Your Eternal Self. Your Eternal Self. It's so good and it's so basic that I actually keep copies around and I hand them out to people if I see them that kind of need them. Craig, can you share what your website is so that people would know how to find you?
Sure. I have 20 websites. And
is there one that's a key?
Yeah, but you can go to youreternalself.com. And that is a website where the book is published, Your Eternal Self is published, but I've also put the book online so that anybody can just look at it when they want to. They don't have to pay any money for it, because it's really important that people understand these truths. So I would say that the website to go to is youreternalself.com. And if you're interested in knowing about what it is that we are doing in AREI, then we do have a website. It is afterlifeinstitute.org. And our research that we're getting funded, if you want to see what it is that people are doing at the cutting edge of this work, it's afterliferesearch.org. Wow. And I would invite anybody to get on that website. And if you have any ideas, to help us to get the funding to help to change humankind by assisting these people who are at the vanguard of helping people to understand the afterlife and afterlife communication, then I would love to see you get on there and see what you, if you come up with any ideas for helping us with the funding.
Well, I will make sure that we have this all posted in the chat room next week, and it'll be part of the description when this becomes a podcast so that you'll have these websites. How would people get in touch with you if they say, I've just got to hear from this guy, I've got to talk to this guy?
Oh, I would invite anybody to get in contact with me. You can get in contact with me at r.craig.hogan@... afterlifeinstitute.org. And go ahead and send me an email.
Yeah, great. No, I hear from people all the time who have heard this or that from Craig, and it's probably true the other way around. This is an area where when we started 10 years ago, there was almost nothing going on. It's like we were talking in the dark, but there is so much going on now, and I think it really is just beginning, and it's exciting. This is an exciting time to be alive, and if you're listening to us now, you are part of this process, and we're excited to have you with us. Craig, it's been so good to have you here. I'm delighted. I'm sure number 24 is not far away.
Good.
We'll be doing
this
soon.
I look forward to it.
So consider yourself hugged. And everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm really glad you could be with us today. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you really understand that, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, we're going to talk with David Allison. David is a software engineer, a consultant, and entrepreneur who lost his 24-year-old son in an auto accident in July of 2016. Now, we've talked with other bereaved parents on Seek Reality, and in each case, I think it's very instructive to see how people use, as we've been talking about today, use what is a devastating experience to grow. The loss of a child is thought by many people to be the worst thing that can happen to us. And of course, nobody really dies. All of these parents have heard from their children or in contact with their children. I mean, Mikey Morgan and his mother talk all the time. The loss of a child is awful. But you will see and hug again all the loved ones, as Craig said, who have gone before us. And although parents want to keep their kids safe, isn't that really the problem? You feel you failed them. I should tell you my personal story. I came within one heartbeat of losing my oldest, and she was 21. She had the same kind of traumatic aorta rupture in an auto crash that ended Princess Diana's life. They told us when they took my child into surgery at the age of 21 that she had less than a 1 in 10 chance, 1 in 15 in chance of survival. And it was a very long night before we knew that they had saved her life. So I can, to some extent, identify with bereaved parents. I know how that feels. I mean, you feel helpless. But still, these are all part of our spiritual growth, and we need to understand that nobody ever dies. I enjoyed David's book. It's called Finding Davy, and he talks about a lot of things, including how Davy really knew this was coming and how they, you know, reconnected, how it became okay again. Now David Allison devotes his energies to mentoring and assisting other parents who have lost their children. Of course, this week we've been talking with our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan, here for the 23rd time. Dr. Hogan has been helping me to help you better understand what the afterlife evidence tells us about why bad things happen to good people. And no, it's not God's fault at all. We plan the pain because just as you plan going to a gym and it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to be great later. And nobody ever dies. You and I know that, of course, but our loved ones who have gone before us really are waiting there, are helping us. I have a friend who's right now talking with a medium about how she's being helped by her loved ones on the other side. She just texted me about how wonderfully that is going. There is nothing but love forevermore. We will be out of this place so soon, and so let's use it as best we can to grow spiritually. As you know, my nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, The Fun of Growing Forever, The Fun of Living Together, and soon The Fun of Loving Jesus, of Embracing the Christianity that Jesus Taught. The Fun of Meeting Jesus is a book for young kids, and you can order all my books, of course, through bookstores or on Amazon, and the adult books are available in audiobooks. If you want to talk about any of my books, or if you really want to talk about anything at all, you can contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. It could take a few days, but I do. So please make sure you give me your correct email address, because otherwise I get really cranky if I write a long email and then it bounces. Past episodes of Seek Reality are available in a lot of places, webtalkradio.net, Real Revolution Radio, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the wonderful people at Dream Vision 7 Radio. They have a whole family of terrific radio programs. You can also get a Seek Reality app, believe it or not, and you can find it for free in the iTunes App Store. And I gather, and if this isn't true, let me know, that it just updates every week. If you ever wonder where we are right now, I'm going to be doing this until I stop breathing. So just go to robertagrimes.com and click the radio tab. And if you enjoy these conversations, you might want to check out my blog at robertagrimes.com. I use it to work through some of the issues we talk about here on Seek Reality. And I'm amazed to say that some people tell me now they wait for the blog post each week. Oh, my goodness, the pressure. But I love it when I hear from people who tell me that I've helped them with the blog, with Seek Reality. I love each of the people listening now. And please know I love you very much. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are God's best beloved child.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.